Welcome, 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 revolutionaries. How are you? You've reached it once again, the Rational Revolution here on Civic Media. Mark Becker is your host. Hey, that's me. We're here for another week. And hey, I've got, if you missed it last week, you can download the Civic Media app. You can text into the show like we asked last week. You can do all sorts of fun stuff. You can listen to all of our episodes. And I would listen to this one on repeat because this guest, let me tell you, we got a powerhouse one for you. This guy is a groundbreaking former lieutenant governor of Maryland, former chairman of the RNC. Yes, the big RNC, current co-host of the political show The Weekend, which airs at 7 o'clock on MSNBC. The incomparable Mr. Michael Steele joins us here on The Rational Revolution. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. It's good to be with you in your house, as we like to say.
Thank you so much. You know, I have to say, when I was climbing up the political ladder here in Wisconsin on the Republican side, you were the chairman. Mm-hmm. And I listened to, you know, everything that you said. I followed you, and it was, I always describe myself as like a fiscal conservative with a social conscience. I was a big tent Republican.
Yeah.
You know, and like in Wisconsin, I was the only GOP official to, for example, support marriage equality. But like, to me, you were the embodiment of what it meant to be a Republican. You're welcoming for people who didn't always go along with everything, but you always made sure there was a place at your table for someone like me. And so, like, you know, that's the Republican that I wanted to be. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. I mean, there's a place at the table for someone like you, because how else do we grow? How else do we thrive? How else do we stay connected to how America is changing? America of 2024 is not the America of 2020, let alone 1950 or 1876.
Right.
So, you know, we have to understand and be mindful of our own journey to this great land. I mean, look, as someone whose ancestors were brought here in chains, I own this now.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm good. You know, yeah. It worked. It worked out. The words on parchment actually worked out.
Right.
And so it's important that we keep that in mind. It's one of our strengths, I believe, as Americans, to look at our room and say, you know what? We need to let some more people in here because the air is getting a little bit stale.
Do you still consider yourself a Republican?
I do, because it pisses them off. You know, that's, I do. Absolutely. I am a card-carrying, hardcore, conservative, you know, black Catholic Republican from Maryland. Yes. Thank you very much.
All right. Hell yeah. There we go.
And there's not a damn person in this party, starting with Donald Trump, who can say otherwise. And I think we need to be clear about that. You don't get to tell me what I am and who I am and what I stand for. You don't get to do that. And if the sign above the door says open, I'm coming in. And if I don't like what's in the room, I'm going to try to change it. That's it. And that's what I've tried to do from my very, very first steps into the Republican Party in 1976. So all these latecomers, all these people just showing up, you know, claiming ground that they have not earned to claim because they've not put in the work. They've not built the party. You know, they just need to step aside for a moment. So.
Well, you know, and I look at some of the stuff that you've done, you know, founding like the Republican Leadership Council, which was, you know, the platform of fiscally conservative, socially inclusive policies, like, you know, having the gall to say, hey, we should protect the environment, you know, and protect individual rights. I mean, like you were fighting those culture wars before it was cool. Where is that party today?
Well, that party is largely recessed from the main stage because of the very, I say heavy-handed, to put it politely, kind of, you know, Bogart your way into the space and take over kind of approach. I mean, look, Donald Trump, and there's video out here, so I'm not, what I'm about to say, you can search and find it very easily. Donald Trump was very clear when he was considering running for president back in the 1980s. One of the things he had to decide is which party could he have take the most advantage of?
Yep.
Basically, that's what he said. He said, which is basically which one is the most gullible.
Yeah.
And he settled on us.
Right. For better
God
or
help
for worse.
Us, right? Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with one of the interesting challenges of the Republican Party has always been a fight for its existence.
Yeah.
Even coming out of the Whig Party as it did, the battle during the war, Civil War, then Reconstruction, then Jim Crow, then Civil Rights, and now in the modern era where you're looking, as you noted, individuals like yourself who are conservatives, they see that, you know, and conservative means I want to conserve posterity. I want to be able to protect it so it can be there for future generations, right? Mm-hmm. And the social fabric is very much a part of that posterity, what mm-hmm. we hand on and how we define ourselves in this moment to set up how future generations will do the same, but differently. And that's always been a struggle for us because at various times we have wanted to be the popular kid on the block.
Yes.
And so we've gravitated towards baser instincts as we did with our little dance with the John Birch Society in the 1950s. And we did with, you know, Nixon's Southern strategy to invite, angry white Southern men who were pissed off the Democrats and embraced the civil rights agenda that we put on the national table. So we've always had this struggle, and it's taken, Mark, I think, individuals like yourself, leaders who stand up and say, this is who we are. That's the strength of Reagan. Reagan talked about America being a shining city on the hill. Well, why did that city shine? It's because of the people and the values inside that city. And that's what he tried to anchor the country around. When you read and listen to his words on immigration, when you read and listen to his words about growth and prosperity, it's very much an inclusive conversation. It's not, we're going to build a wall, we're going to, right. Haul you off into a concentration camps and ship you out of here, and we're going to use the government as a weapon against those we don't like. That's not Republicanism, but that's unfortunately where we are, and that party you and I are, very much a part of, has recessed, and now we're trying to fight to give it some new ground to stand on.
It's funny, there was, we have a friend of mine who was a former mayor of Green Bay here, and he told me just like 20 minutes ago, he's like, oh, you're a big Democrat, right? And I was like, well, hold on now,
Right.
And so it's like what I believe in limited government, low taxes, fiscal conservatism. But I also believe that my brother, who is gay, should be able to marry the person he wants. I believe that my wife, who is a black woman, shouldn't see a major political party embracing, the Confederate flag and racists. And I believe in that economic inequality is real, and we should do something about that. So where is my home? Is that in the GOP?
It's not in this version of the GOP, but that what you just described was where the Republican Party once was.
Yes.
It's funny you mention that because just a few nights ago, I was in South Carolina doing an event there and at Wolford College, which is a beautiful, beautiful place, wonderful people. And a gentleman came up to me after my talk, and he shook my hand. And he looked at me, he says, I remember when you stood up for log cabin Republicans.
Yes. Yep.
And he said, people don't even know what a log cabin Republican is today, but you did at the very beginning.
Yes.
When you came on the scene. And for me, and for those who don't know, log cabin Republicans are gay, lesbian Republicans.
Right?
Yep. It was formed in the 1960s, and the Republican Party was the first to embrace.
Yeah. Yes.
The liberties of gay and lesbian individuals in this country.
Right.
And so we act as if that is foreign to us. But in fact, and those who are in that space right now, saying all the ugly crap, behaving the way they are, trying to strip these individuals of their rights, don't understand our history, don't know our history. Our history was born out of liberty. For everybody. I mean, that was the central theme and reason why we broke from the Whigs, because we believe those words that all of us are created equally and free. And so that's been, for me, a very animating principle. Now, how do we get back to that? Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, Mark, that's the battle ahead, baby. Right. Y'all better strap it up, because what's coming after November is going to be the game. Because whether Donald Trump wins or loses, the fight is on for what is going to be the Republican Party. And if and just so people know, if this current structure is the one that can't stand, we're ready to do something else. Don't worry.
Yeah, okay.
We got ground covered. But the fact is, we need to have that fight. It's been a fight that's been avoided since Reagan left in 1989, when then the question was, who is the next Reagan? And instead of trying to answer who is the next Reagan, the party lost sight of the fact that what Reagan left behind was what we must do as Republicans, how we lead in a changing world, why our alliances are valuable and important. He didn't call Russia, you know, the Soviet Union, the evil empire, just because it was a nice movie theme.
Right.
He said it because it principally stood for something that was antithetical from what freedom requires. And so where is that party? Well, there are those of us who are ready to fight for those values again, and are ready to have that battle, which is why we're standing with Kamala Harris, so we can have that fight. Because otherwise, you know, what is there? Donald Trump just actually called for a purge.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Oh, so you just want the police to rove the streets free, along with anybody else who has a gun and a weapon, just to make a point, you know, to strike fear in everybody. I mean, it's just, this is not the country that the founders left for us. And the fact that some of our neighbors, friends, family members, community leaders are buying into this is something we have to guard against and stand against, in my view.
Yeah, and we're talking with former RNC chairman Michael Steele. We're gonna hit on that a little bit more here in the next segment here, because I do want to talk about, you know, where is that party? Where are we going? And later we're gonna kind of go through the war games of if Trump wins, if Trump loses, what happens?
And
we'll continue this discussion here on the other side. You're on the Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.